Okay, today's daf is Shavuos, daf Lamed Aleph. We left off in daf Lamed Amud Beis. We're at the two dots on the second wide line in daf Lamed Amud Beis. So, says the Gemara, Rav Yemar havi yadalei sadusa lemarzutra. Rav Yemar was aware of testimony relating to Marzutra. Also, the Kameda Amemar, so he came to Amemar. Usvinu, meaning he came to Amemar's Beis Din. Usvinu lukulhu, and Amemar sat everybody down. Amr le Ravashi la Amemar, so Ravashi said to Amemar, V'hamarula machlokas bebali dinim, al v'beidim divrei akol v'amida. Didn't we say that the whole machlokas about whether they can be sat down or they dafka v'amdu shnei anashim means that they need to stand is by Bali Din? That's where we have such a discussion, whether you're allowed to sit them down as long as you treat them evenly, which was Rabbi Huda Shita, or you're not allowed to sit them down even if you're sitting them both down, everybody's got to stand. That whole machlokas was only by the Bali Din, but the Edim, everyone holds, require Amida. So how could it be that you're sitting everybody down? Amalei Hayase Vahayase. He says, look, you're right, there is such a mitzvah to make sure that everybody is standing, that the Edim are standing. But there's also mitzvah saseh of kavodat Torah, and asay de kavodat Torah adif. The asay of kavodat Torah is the stronger of the two mitzvah saseh. So I'm going to do the mitzvah saseh of kavodat Torah rather than the mitzvah saseh of having the edim stand up. So if you look at Tosfos, asay de kavodat Torah adif v'im tomar kol shkein kvod melech shareinu yachol limchalal kvodo. So then l'chora, if there's such a concept when it comes to a Talmud Chacham that the asay of kavodat Torah is going to be adif, so then for sure you would say that by a melech, right? That a melech who's kavod is even greater because a melech is not able to be mochel on his kavod. A Talmud Chacham, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, is able to be mochel on his kavod because Torah dilehu. It's his Torah, and therefore he has the right to be mochel on the kavod that comes to him as a result of his Torah. Yesterday we discussed a little bit about an Eishas Talmud Chacham, the case of the standing up for the Eishas Chaver, Harei Kechaver, right? It could be an interesting thing that an Eishas Chaver, it's very likely, cannot be mochel on her kavod, because the whole svara that a Talmud Chacham could be mochel on his kavod is that it's his Torah. The Eishas Chaver, if the kavod is coming to her because of her husband's Torah, so it's not her Torah, maybe she can't be mochel on the kavod. Although that's not so pashut either, because it could be that it is her Torah. First of all, a couple of things. First of all, it could be that the reason we're mechabit her is not directly because of her husband's Torah, but because of her support for her husband's Torah, and that is hers. So it could be that she's able to be mochel for that reason. Furthermore, even if it is because of the husband's Torah, it could be that her husband's Torah does belong to her. In the story with the Gemara with Rabbi Akiva, Maseches Ksuvos, where the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Akiva's wife, and how Rabbi Akiva went to learn, what was the lashon Rabbi Akiva used when he came back, and people were trying to push his wife away from coming near him as she was trying to kiss his feet when he came back. The lashon that Rabbi Akiva used was Sheli v'shalachem shelahi. My Torah, your Torah, it's all her Torah. It's all hers. So that lashon implies that it actually is hers, and therefore she perhaps can be mochel. But anyway, when it comes to a melech cannot be mochel on his kavod. So Tosfos understands, at least in the Kasha, that the fact that a melech cannot be mochel on his kavod is indicative of a higher level of kavod needed for a melech than you would have for a Talmud Chacham. And if that's the case, the mitzvah of kavod for a melech is a greater mitzvah than the kavod for a Talmud Chacham, and therefore you should definitely not sit down a king. A king should definitely stand. Problem is that the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin, Daf Yotes, tells the story of Yanei HaMelech coming to a Din Torah by Shimon ben Shetach, and Shimon ben Shetach making Yanei HaMelech stand. So if, according to what we're saying now, that the Asay de Kavodat Torah Adif, the Asay of Kavodat HaMelech should for sure be Adif, why in the world was Yanei HaMelech forced to stand? So V'yeshlomer deshaini dinei nefashos dechamiri. So Tosfos says one possible answer is that in the case of dinei nefashos, it's more chamor, more severe, and therefore we need to have them stand even if it's a melech. Inami b'makom she'en chacham mochel al kvodo chamir kavod Torah mikvod melech. Says Tosfos, no, the fact that a Talmud Chacham could be mochel on his kavod is not an indication that it's a lower level of kavod than the kavod that you have to give to a king. Adrabah, it might be a higher level of kavod. The fact that a Talmud Chacham could be mochel and his kavod, it's not that, yeah, we let him be mochel because it's not so important anyway. We let him be mochel because it's his. The malchus doesn't belong to the king. The malchus belongs to the entire Jewish people. So we don't allow a melech to be mochel and his kavod. But it could be that when a Talmud Chacham has not been mochel and his kavod, the chi of kavod for a Talmud Chacham is in fact greater than the chi of kavod for a king. So anyway, but that's the that's why he sat him down, because he figured the Aseid the Kavod Torah is Adif. Now the Gemara is going to spend the next Amud or so, till the two dots on the bottom of Amud Aleph, giving 13 different examples of how one can violate the Yisr of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And what's going to be interesting about all these examples is that none of them are just telling a lie. In fact, none of them are telling a lie at all. They're all about situations that lead to deception. None of them are actually about lying. Tan Rabbanan, minayin ledayin shlo yasa sanigron ledvarav. How do I know that a dayan shouldn't make sanigron ledvarav? What does that mean, shouldn't make sanigron ledvarav? Look at Rashi. Im dan din v'libo nokfo lomar shehu toa. If he's done a din and his heart is telling him that he made a mistake, and that, you know, really maybe he had the wrong call over here. Lo yachzik dvarav lahavi rayos la'amidam shu bosh lachzar el kol stadim yachzor lahotzi din la'amito. He shouldn't, you know, try to cover for himself and come up with dochak svaros to defend his shita. You have to be honest. If you made a mistake, so you have to be intellectually honest through and through, and you have to say that you made a mistake. So that's how. So how do I know Talmud Chacham has to be careful? A dayan has to be careful not to falsely defend himself. Sometimes guys in learning, when they're learning b'chavrusa, so it becomes more of a competition than trying to reach the MS. So you always have to be intellectually honest. Try to get to the MS. Tamalomer midvar sheker tirchak. Rabbi Pam just told me on Shabbos that Binyamin's father told me that he heard from Rav Gifter once, the famous Gemara about Shimon HaMsuni Darish's Kol Es in Shabbat Torah, that he darshened every S in the Torah, and then he got to Es HaShem Elokecha Tira, and he was Poresh, and then it says, Ad Shabar Rabbi Akiva, and was Doresh, Es HaShem Elokecha Tira, L'Rabbos Tamidei Chachamim. So Rav Gifter said, and why didn't Shimon HaMsuni think of that? Was it so far-fetched? Es HaShem Elokecha Tira, L'Rabbos Tamidei Chachamim. So he said, or the way he said it was, where did Rabbi Akiva learn to darshan it that way, that it's okay to darshan Es HaShem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbos Tamidei Chachamim? So he said he learned it from Shimon HaMsuni, that the fact that he saw a guy was willing to put his life's work into a certain theory that you can darshan S, and he spends years and years darshaning every single S in the whole Torah, and he has the integrity and the intellectual honesty to get to one that he can't darshan, and he's going to say, you know what, so that's it, my life's work is gone, it's not there anymore. So that integrity is what taught Rabbi Akiva that it's got to be that Talmid Chacham are on a higher level than we thought they were. That Es HaShem Elokecha Tira, someone who has that kind of integrity. That was Rav Gifter's part. The intellectual honesty to be able to say, you know what, I was wrong about that, and to backtrack on it. I told him I didn't think that was so pashut. That meaning that's not necessarily throwing your life's work down the toilet. There is a concept of amelus in Torah. It could be that the Gemara in Masech Sukkah, for instance, says va'alo lo yibal that afilu sichas chulin shel tamid chacham tzrichim limud. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, what does it mean sichas chulin shel tamid chacham? The tamid chacham don't speak sicha b'teila. What kind of sichas chulin are we talking about? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says the havamina of a shir also, that when someone builds up a whole shir and it's only a havamina, and then later on backtracks and says, you know what, I was wrong. The way he thought and the way that he presented in the first place is also limud. That's also Talmud Torah. So it's not throwing his whole life's work down the drain. He might have been wrong, but it's all the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It was all valuable. Okay, anyway, uminayin l'dayan, number two, uminayin l'dayan shlo yeshiv Talmud boor l'fanav. How do I know that a dayan should be careful not to have a Talmud who's a boor sitting in front of him? Meaning the Talmidim would sit there to be able to discuss the case, to iron out the details and hash out all the arguments. So how do I know that you should make sure that you have good Talmidim, sharp Talmidim sitting in front of you to make sure that you get it right? Tamalomer Midvar Sheker Tirchak. That's also from Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Again, it's not about lying. It's just about not doing everything you can to reach the absolute MS. Right? That's what we had a shir last night over here on the Tuesday night shir was on the topic of Midvar Shekat Tirchon, just because I was holding in the Indian. That's what one of the Minchas Salazar, I think it was, says that Midvar Shekat Tirchon means that you have to. Why Lashon of Tirchon? Why not just Los Shaker, Al Tishaker? Why Tirchon? So he says Tirchon means that even if you're in a situation where you don't think you're lying, but you could have known better. I mean, you could have set yourself up in a way that you would know better. That's also Midvar Sheker Tirchak. For instance, I'm filling out my tax form. I don't know exactly how much money I made because I got paid for a little bit over here on the side, that side job. So I didn't pay close attention. I'm giving my best estimate. I'm trying my best really to estimate. But that's not good enough. Midvar Sheker Tirchak tells you that you need to keep track back when you originally get it, because you know that eventually there's going to be a tax form. You know eventually you're going to have to present exactly what the truth is. So even though right now I'm not lying, because I'm saying the facts as I know them, and I'm estimating to the best of my ability, but the chiv of Midvar Sheker Tirchak is to do everything you can in advance to make sure that it doesn't come out as an untruth, to make sure that you know the truth. So that's this one, that you shouldn't have a Talmud Bor Lefan of, make sure the truth comes out, and if that involves getting sharp talmidim to discuss the case with, so that's what you need to do. Number three, minayin l'dayin sheyodeh l'chaver shu gazlan, v'chein aid sheyodeh b'chaver shu gazlan, minayin shlo yitzdarif imo. How do I know that if a dayin or an aid knows that somebody is a gazlan, that you shouldn't be mitzdarif with him for an eidos, even if it's eidos MS, even if the eidos that he's saying is true, you should stay away from him. Tamalom midvar sheker tirchak. So the pasuk says, midvar sheker tirchak, you stay away from people who even speak sheker, even though you're not going to plan on saying anything that's a lie. Number four, minayin l'dayin sheyodeya b'din shumaruma shlo yomar holve edim yidin achatchenu v'yekol atali b'tzavar edim. How do I know if a dayin sees that based on the evidence, Reuven is right? Right? Based on the evidence, based on the edim that he brought, Reuven's going to win this case. But I know that Reuven is wrong. I know it in my gut. I know it from my sensibilities tell me that Reuven is wrong and that the edim are lying and everything. So how do I know that a dayan can't just let it go and say, you know what, if the Edom come, that's their problem. They're the ones that were made. I have a job to do. I have to enforce the law based on the testimony that was brought. That a dayan should not do that. He should come to the actual, absolute truth. Tam lomer midvar sheker tirchak. Right elsewhere, the Gemara says, that's the, I think in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, that a dayan that's done din emes le'amito, right? We discussed dun din emes le'amito. So what does din emes le'amito mean? So one of the explanations is this, that sometimes there's a din emes. That a din MS is that it's the truth as I know it, as it was presented to me. But MS la amito is not just the truth as it was presented to me, but I do my best to actually find the real truth, not just the truth as it was presented to me at first. Din MS le amito. Okay, number five. Minayin le talmud sheyoshev lefnei rabo v'roe zuchus la'ani v'chov la'ashir minayin shlo yishtok. How do I know if a talmud chacham is sitting in front of his, sitting in front of his rebbe, and the rebbe is the dayan, and the talmud realizes that he has a limud zuchus for the ani to protect him, and a chov to the ashir, it's going to cost the ashir. How do I know he shouldn't be quiet? Tamalomer midvar sheker tirchak. That's what the pasuk says, midvar sheker tirchak. Says, tells us, wait a second, that one sounds familiar. The beginning of Masech Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, how do I know that you shouldn't sit there and cower in front of the rich person and just let it go, because after all he's rich and you're afraid of him, and that you should in fact say the argument even though it's going to cost the rich person money? The Gemara Sanhedrin says, because of the pasuk says, lo saguru mipnei ish. You shouldn't be afraid of other human beings. You have to stand up for what's right and what's true, even if the person is a very intimidating person. So says Tosfos, even though the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a different pasuk, L'sagur b'pnei ish, kein derech hashas b'kamaduchti, the Gemara sometimes does that. If it's a Musar idea, an idea of hashkafa and what to do, and what, so the Gemara will sometimes use the same pasuk to teach us two different psukim to teach us the same idea. Number six, minayin l'talmud sharoa es rabo shatoa bedin shelo yomar amtin lo ad shiyigmerenu va'asterenu va'avnenu mishali kedei shiyikra adin al shemi. How do I know that if a Talmud sees that his Rebbe is making a mistake in the early stages of a Din Torah, that he shouldn't say, you know what, let's wait till this plays itself out, and then I'll come in like a knight and save the day with my brilliant argument that's going to show that my Rebbe was mistaken the whole time, and then everyone's going to say, look, I made such a gvaldika chiddush to save the whole din Torah and to come to the MS. Rather, what should the Talmud do right away? As soon as he sees a mistake, he should right away ask the Rebbe. Maybe Rebbe made a mistake about this, even though it's not going to be as heroic for him. How do I know that a Talmud should do that? Talmud lo midvar sheker tirchak. What's the midvar sheker tirchak over there? The dvar sheker is that it's sheker for a Talmud to sit there quietly if his job is when he sees something wrong to say something. That's the Talmud's job in the Din Torah, that when he sees something wrong to question and to say. That's the whole point. So it's sheker for him to sit there listening. We had a discussion last night about whether there's an iser to listen to other people tell lies, like there's similar to the iser to listen to lashon hara, right? And that's totally in the issue of whether midvar sheker tirchak is an iser ben adam l'chavero or an iser ben adam l'atzmo. If the iser of lying is ben adam l'chavero, well, I'm not doing anything when I'm to anybody else when I'm listening to other people tell lies. But if it's a mitzvah ben adam l'atzmo, it's just about chesama shel kadosh baruch hu emes, and I need to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of emes. So then it could be that even listening is a problem. So someone asked last night, Yehuda asked, wait a second, this case of the Gemara, is it doesn't say that the problem is that you're listening to a lie. It says that the problem is that you're trying to save the day and make yourself into a hero. So it sounds like listening to a lie is not a problem. But I thought that no, that over here it's not about listening to a lie, because the person who's speaking isn't lying. He's saying what he thinks is the truth. He's wrong. But being wrong isn't a lie. To you, it's sheker to sit there pretending everything's okay when you know things are not okay. Number 7, minayin l'talmud shamar l'rabo yodea atobi sheim nosin li mea mana eini mevada. How do I know that a Talmud who says to his Rebbe, look, you know that if you would give me 100 mana, I would never tell a lie, I would never make up a story. So listen, money yesh li yetzal ploni. Ploni owes me money. Problem is, I don't have two aidim. I only have one aid that he owes me the money. Can you do me a favor and serve as a second aid? Look, I know you don't know firsthand that he owes me money, but you know that I'm an honest guy. I wouldn't make up a story like this, and I'm in a tough spot. The guy owes me a lot of money. I only have one aid. The one aid's not going to be enough for me because the guy's going to take a shvul, a sheker, he'll swear falsely. So what am I supposed to do? So give me some support by serving as a second aid. How do I know you shouldn't do that? Tamalom or midvar sheker tirchak. So that's midvar sheker tirchak. Frak the Gemara, hay midvar sheker tirchak nafka, havadei shkurika meshaker, rachman amalosan v'reecha et shaker. Says the Gemara, wait a second, that's not midvar sheker tirchak, right? That sounds like an actual lie. Midvar sheker tirchak means stay away from situations that might lead to lie, be false representations. This is a real lie. This is losan v'reecha et shaker. This is saying false testimony. Saying false testimony is its own iser. That has nothing to do with midvar sheker tirchak. It's like I mentioned recently, a Talmud of mine wanted to put on tefillin for Mincha, so his mother sent a shaila to Rav Shechter, could my son put on tefillin for Mincha, because he went to a yeshiva in the old city where they put on tefillin for Mincha, so he wanted to take on that minhag. So Rav Shechter sent back a tshuva in Hebrew, and he said, it's not mechziki yuhara, it's yuhara mamish. It's not something that looks like yuhara. That is yuhara. When everyone else is doing one thing and you're going to be the one meshugna that's doing different than everybody else, that's good for yuhara. That's the very definition. Ella kigon da amrlei vat. So what's the case over here that's actually midvar sheker tirchak? What is this case number 7? El kigon da amrlei vadai chad sahad isli v'ta ata kum hasam. No, the guy says, look, I have one witness. I'm not asking you to testify falsely on my behalf. I wouldn't ask you to tell a lie for me. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Come to Beis Din, just stand there. Make it look like you would be a second witness. Don't say a word. I'm never going to ask you to say a lie from your mouth. Even standing there is asr, because midvar sheker tirchak, meaning he figured having the guy there look like a second aid is maybe going to cause the other party to say, he's got two witnesses against me, all right, I might as well just pay up and not even go through with the rest of the case. No, midvar sheker tirchak tells you that you can't make it look that way. Even number 8. Minayin lenosha bechaveru mana shaloyamer atanenu b'masayim kadei shiyodu li b'mana v'yischayv li shvua. How do I know that if someone owes me $100, I can't say, you know what, I'm going to make a claim that he owes me $200,
And this way, he'll admit that he owes me 100, and that's going to be a modah b'miktsas. Halach is a modah b'miktsas has to take a shvua, so he's going to have to take a shvua that he only owes me 100 and not that he only owes me 100 and not 200. But once he's taking a shvua, there's a concept called gilgal shvua. I can't be mechayev him a shvua for other money that he owes me. But once he's already going to take a shvua, modah b'miktsas, v'yigalgal of shvua mimakom acher. I'll do a gilgal shvua mimakom acher in order to make him take a shvua about something else. Tabalomar mitvah sheker tirchak. No, mitvah sheker tirchak, you can't make false tainas. So you're going to make a false taina that he owes you $200 just to get him to take a shvua. That's not that's not allowed. That's asur mishum mitvah sheker tirchak. Number 9, minay linosh b'chaver mana v'tano masayim. How do I know that if somebody owes me $100 and or if I owe somebody somebody owes me $100 and I make a taina that he owes me $200, shalo yomar achber that the guy, I put me on the wrong side. Someone is, I owe somebody $100. He makes a taina that I owe him $200. How do I know that I should not say in Beis Din that I'll deny the whole thing? And then outside of Beis Din, I'll go ahead and I'll tell him, look, I know that I owe you $100. Thing is, I don't want to have to take a shvua, because if I have to take a shvua, not because what I'm saying is false, I know I owe him $100. I don't want to have to take a shvua, because if I take a shvua in Beis Din, I'm opening myself up to a gilgal shvua. It could be that any other situation that we've had dealings with in the past, he's going to make me take a shvua about that also once I'm taking a shvua in Beis Din. So in order to avoid the shvua in Beis Din, I'm just going to say, look, I don't owe you any money at all, I'll be kofar hakol in Beis Din. That way I won't have to take a shvua. And then outside of Beis Din, I'll be honest, and I'll tell him I know I owe you $100, and I'll give him a $100 bill. I'll pay him back outside of Beis Din. How do I know I can't do that? That's what the pasuk says. Midvar sheker tirchak. If you look at Tosos, shelo ischayev l'shvua, v'lo yigalgal l'shvua mimakom acher, v'im tamar lama yari migilgal shvua yosem yishvua zos shata tovo. Why is he more afraid if he's honest and he's going to tell the truth? Why is he more afraid of the Gilgal Shvua than he is of the Shvua that he's going to be chayv from other mitzvahs? The Shvua that he's going to be chayv from other mitzvahs, he's saying, yeah, that he'd be prepared to do. It's the Gilgal Shvua that I'm worried about. What do you mean? What are you worried about a Gilgal Shvua if you're being honest over here? So v'yesh lomar kigon she'en lo k'dei l'froa kol ma she'yigalgal lav. Now he knows he owes him other money, and if he has to take a Shvua, he's going to have to pay all of that money right up front. He doesn't have all that money right now. Kigon she'chayv lo harbe m'makom acher v'savar ech his game plan is to keep denying that he owes the money until he has it, and then once he has it, be moda that he owes the money. He's not going to steal chas v'shalom, he's just going to deny owing the money until he has the money, and once he has the money, he's going to pay it. That's his game plan. So the shvua, moda mitzvah, he's not afraid of, because the $100 he has right now, but the $10,000 that he owes him from before, he doesn't want to take a shvua on that, because that money he doesn't have right now.
So
that's,
in case he doesn't owe any money, then he should have.
No. Not that if you don't owe him any money, you're allowed to do it, but that there's no svara to want to do it if you don't owe him any money from anywhere else. I mean, if I don't owe you any money from anywhere else, so what am I afraid of? Then I might as well
admit in court.
Right. No, but over here the Gemara is saying you're not allowed to not admit in court anyway. You're mechuyev to admit in court in any case, right?
Even if you have a lot of
clothes. Yeah, even if exactly. So number 10, uminayin l'shlosha shnosha mana be'echad. How do I know that if three people are owed money by the same guy, shloye echad baldin v'shnai meidim k'zoshe yotziu mana v'yachloku, that we shouldn't have one guy serve as the baldin and the other two serve as the edim in order to get the money from him, and then we'll split the profits? Tamalomar midvar sheker tirchak. That's also midvar sheker tirchak. Minayin l'shnayim shabo l'din echad lavish smartutin. How do I know if two people come to a din Torah, one of them is wearing a bunch of rags and one of them is wearing an Armani suit, that you have to say, look, either you dress like him or you dress like him, but you can't have two people walk into court looking so different from each other? When they came in front of Rava Barafuna for a din Torah, he would say, say, take off your certain garment, and then we'll be ready for the din Torah. I mean, if you had a fancy garment, you couldn't keep that garment on for the din Torah. Number 12, minayin l'dayin shalishma divrei baldin kodim shiavo baldin chavero. How do I know that a dayin should not listen to one baldin before he hears, before the other baldin comes, shows up to court? Tamalon midvar sheket yirchak, meaning until both guys are there, neither is allowed to speak. If one guy is there, so why? What's the issue? The dayan could just report afterwards what he heard and ask the other guy for his side of the story also. The point is that you're going to be less embarrassed to say things that are and fudge certain facts of the case when the other guy is not there. If the other guy is there, you're going to be much more careful to say things the right way, to present the case in the right way, and not to paint it in a certain way. So one litigant can't present anything before the other guy shows up. Number 13, the final midvar sheker tirchak limud, minayin lebaldin shelo yatim devarav ledayin kodem shiavo baldin chavero. How do I know that a baldin cannot be matim devarav ledayin before is it cannot give some yatim devarav, literally means to give some flavor, cannot try to explain his perspective to the dayin before the baldin, the other baldin, comes? Tamlo midvar sheker tirchak. Rav Kahana masni mi losisa losasi. Rav Kahana says, no, we learned that from losisa that could be read losasi. Vashalo tova sabatoch amav, rav amr zaha babar shal, shmul amr zaha lokech sadish yesh la'asikin. And then we have a pasuk, asher lo tov asa b'toch hamav. What is the lo tov asher asa b'toch hamav? So Rav says that's referring to someone who comes beharsha'a, someone who sends a lawyer instead of going himself to deal with his own din Torah, that it's better to go yourself. And Shmuel says, no, it's talking about the lokeach sada shiyesh alea asikin, going and buying a field that you know that there are tainas on the field, but you're just confident enough that once you take possession of the field, no one's going to start up with you, that you're a strong enough guy that you're going to be able to withstand any pressure. So you shouldn't get involved in situations that are already sticky situations. You don't want to get involved in a disputed property. If the property is disputed, don't buy it. Stay away from it. Let the dispute resolve itself, and then maybe you could buy it. But in the meantime, you leave it alone. So what's this idea of not having a lawyer? So says Rashi, Zeh bar b'asha umis aver al riv lo lo. That he's getting involved in a fight that's not his own. V'shema harisho noach lo v'noach l'pshari yosem mizeh she'ni yochel asos pshar b'momon acherim. Meaning, if I don't go to my own din Torah and I send someone to my place, that person is not authorized to make a pshara, because it's not his money, it's my money. So we always are looking for a way to peacefully resolve disputes, and it would be much easier. We have a whole sugya at the beginning of Sanhedrin about pshara. It would be much better if we had someone who's authorized to make a pshara being involved in the dispute. This way we have a better chance of coming to a peaceful resolution than sending somebody who's not authorized to make a pshara. So that's the idea of Hababar Shah. If you look at Tosfos, Zeh Hababar Shah, Kisha'os b'shvil shu ilay ubaltainos shemis abar al riv lo lo. Avu kishatorech lahavi lechaveru ma'osav shein chaveru yachol etroch mitzvah kavi. Tosfos says, wait, we got to be very careful about this one. If the reason why I'm sending a lawyer is because I'm not, I know my claim and I know my case, but a lawyer is slick and he's smart and he'll come up with all sorts of ways to present things in a way that will sway the dayan, and that will, so that's the bad part. That's the Zeh Hababar Shah that we're not happy about. But sometimes I don't even know what I'm entitled to. I don't even know what I'm supposed to, you know, what I'm supposed to say, what I'm supposed to do. I'm just not capable of representing myself, of even representing what the story is. And therefore the lawyer wants to come in and he wants to do a service for me, to be able to represent me properly. So in that case, he says, "Adarabba, that's a great mitzvah. That's helping. That's enabling justice. That's not that's promoting justice. That's not standing in the way of justice. So then it would be okay to have harsha'a." That's how Hatosos understands. Okay, midvar sheker tirchak. Just case from the Sefer Chashukei Chemed. Rav Zilberstein points out there's a famous Ben Ish Chai. Not in the Sefer Ben Ish Chai, but in his Sefer, the Ben Ish Chai Sefer Chas De Avos, where he gives an example of, he tells a story of a guy, I told this last night also, a guy who finds on the street a gold coin. Reuven is walking down the street, he sees a gold coin, he picks it up, he says, wow, a gold coin, and he doesn't see any Simon on it, and he puts it in his pocket, it's going to be his. Shimon sees Reuven pick up the gold coin, he runs over to Reuven and says, Reuven, that was my gold coin. I just dropped it before, and I saw no one came. Since I dropped it, it's mine. Reuven knows that Shimon is lying. It's not your gold coin. You just saw me pick it up, so you're claiming that it's yours. So Reuven says, no, it's not. Shimon says, I'll take you to Din Torah. They go to Din Torah, and in front of a certain Rav, whoever the Rav is, the Rav Ben Sion Chazan said that this Maisa was by the Ben Ishchai by himself, but because of his anivus, he left that part out, that it was Maisa in his own courtroom. So they go to the Ben Ishchai, and the Ben Ishchai sees that Shimon is lying. That's definitely not Shimon's, but what's he going to do? Shimon claims that it's his. How's he going to convince Shimon that Shimon's lying? Right? How's he going to know and prove that Shimon's lying? So he tells Reuven and Shimon, you walk outside the courtroom for a minute. I need to discuss this with the other Rabbanim. So they walk outside the courtroom, and the Ben Ishchai realizes Shimon is listening up against the door. He knows exactly what Shimon's doing. So he says really loudly, let me see that coin. Oh, look at that. There's a hole right next to a certain letter on the coin. It's a Simon Muvak. So if Shimon's able to present the Simon Muvak, then it will be his. Then he calls Reuven and Shimon back into the courtroom, and Shimon says, and Ben Ishchai says, Shimon, do you have any Simon? Do you have any Raya that it's yours? And Shimon says, yes, in fact, there's a Simon Muvak. There's a hole next to a certain letter. And Ben Ishchai says, sorry, there's no hole on this coin. I guess you must have lost a different coin. Reuven must have found something else, meaning he made up a whole story in order to trip Shimon up, to get him to say that, because he knew that Shimon was lying. So the shaila is Ben Ishchai allowed to do that? Are you allowed to lie? Meaning that's, he's saying a lie. You're allowed to, isn't that midvar sheker tirchak? Right? That you, so this is a major shaila in poskim, that when you're lying in order to promote justice, in order to get to the truth, that the only way to get to the truth is by telling a lie, whether that's allowed. So, for instance, the poskim discuss the following case. Three people are sitting on a din Torah, and one of the dayanim sees that the other two dayanim are making an obvious error. They're making a mistake, but he can't convince them of it. He knows that they're wrong, he knows that they're making a mistake. And they're going to say chayiv when the person is really zakai. So can the third dayan say eini yodeya? And even though he knows that it's really Zakai, can he say Eini Yodea, which is a lie? Because by saying Eini Yodea, they're going to have to be Mosif two more Dayanim. And once they're Mosif two more Dayanim, he's sure that the other two Dayanim are going to see it his way, and then they'll outvote him 3-2 and they'll win. So in order to promote justice, can you tell a lie? Right. So that's a major discussion in the poskim. The Piskei Tshuva in Choshen Mishpat, Simin Yud Ches, Sivkat and Dalit, quotes in the name of the Beis Yaakov that it's usher to do that. The Shvus Yaakov, however, says that it's mutter to do that. In order to be to make the Din Emes Lamito, you're allowed to do that, and that's part of what you have to get done in order for Din Emes Lamito. Now, the truth is, you can't really compare the two cases. When the other Dayanim know all the facts, and I'm convinced that they're wrong, right, I might be convinced that they're wrong. They're convinced that they're right. You have to be appreciative of the idea that there might be another perspective and that I might be wrong. Right, but over here, in this case, it's not about being convinced. It's not about my own opinion. It's about an objective fact that if the guy's going to lie about a simon, then obviously he's a liar. Right, so it could be that the two cases are different, that there's only machlokas in the case with the dayanim, with the dayan saying any yodea, because he doesn't know that what he's saying is actually for sure true anyway. He may be convinced of it in his own mind, but the other guys in their own minds are convinced that the other way is true. So it may not be exactly the same case. But anyway, that's an interesting shaila relating to Midrash Sheker Tirchak. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. So the idea of Shvus Ha'edus is only for people who are ra'ui to be made, who are ra'ui to be edim in court. If they couldn't be an aid anyway, then what are you going to be mechayev them for Shvus Ha'edus? They couldn't serve as a witness anyway. So says Gemara Lafuke Mai, what are we coming to exclude? Amar Rav Papa Lafuke Melech, to exclude a king, that a king can't be an aid in court, and therefore he's not going to be subject to Shvus Ha'edus. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Lafuke Mesachek Bekuvia. No, it's coming to exclude a gambler, that a gambler is not acceptable in court, and therefore he's going to be Pasul Ha'edus. So Mandiyam Mesachek Bekuvia Kalshken Melech, the one who says it's coming to exclude a Mesachek Bekuvia, who's Kasher Midaraisa, the Pasul of Mesachek Bekuvia is only Pasul Midarabanan. So someone who's Kasher Midaraisa is not subject to Shvuas Eidos, then for sure someone who's Pasul Midaraisa, the Melech, who's not even Kasher Midaraisa, for sure is not subject to Shvuas Eidos. But Umandi Amar Melech, the one that says that it's coming to exclude Melech, Av Mesachik Bekuvia Midaraisa Mechzachazi V'Rabbanu Nudabaslu, Av Mesachik Bekuvia Midaraisa is Kasher Eidos, and there it's only Midarabanan that he's Pasul, and therefore Misachik Pekuvia may be subject to Shvua Se'edus. The Maritz Chayis over here points to a Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Mem Dalid, who's mistapek about, let's say you have a case of Krovim, that you're Mekabel Aleim Le'edus. The halacha is, by Krovim, if everyone, both parties are Mekabel, that yes, we believe, we trust this Karov, Neman Alei Abba, Neman Alei Avicha, is a lesson that the Gemara uses, that you're allowed to then have those Krovim serve as Edim. So if those Edim deny knowing Eidos and swear to it, and then it turns out that they lied, are they chayiv the carbon shvus Eidos? Because mitzad atzmo, they're not right to be an aid, right? It's only mitzad that they were that the Bali Din were mekabel them. But at the end of the day, they could have been accepted in Beis Din. So he says, the Shvus Yaakov says, from the fact that we say La'afuke Melech, and we don't say La'afuke Karov, who you were Mekabel, it must be that B'chia Gavna, he can be Chayiv Shvus Eidos, because otherwise we would have said that that's who's being excluded, the guy that you were Mekabel to be an aid. So that's how... that's how the Maritz Chayis quotes from the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov. Right? We discussed yesterday that Cheshek Shlomo said the other way. Cheshek Shlomo said that no, that anyone who doesn't have a shame aid mida or raisa, even though practically his testimony will be accepted, or someone who has a shame aid but practically his testimony won't be accepted, either one is excluded from Shvus Eidus. And this guy, a Karov, doesn't have a shame aid mida or raisa. That's how the Cheshek Shlomo explained why the Mishnah had to even mention Karov if it already mentioned anyone who's in a royal lehayit. But the Maritz Chayis doesn't understand that way. He says the exact opposite. Okay, Misachik Bekuvi is obviously a much bigger sugya. We discussed it when we did Sanhedrin. No time for that right now. Okay, Bifnei Bezin v'shalo Bifnei Bezin. So the idea of Shvus Eidos, one could be Chayv Shvus Eidos, whether he denied knowing the testimony in front of Bezin or not in front of Bezin. That was the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Bifnei Bezin v'shalo Bifnei Bezin, if he takes the Shvu himself, if it's not Mipi Acherim, and the Chacham say, no, only Bifnei Beis Din, not Shelo Bifnei Beis Din. So, B'maika Mifki, what are the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir arguing about? Amru Rabbanan Kamed Rav Papa, B'don Mino Umina, B'don Mino V'uki Ba'asra Kamifki. They're arguing about the concept of Don Mino Umina or Don Mino V'uki Ba'asra. When I learn Parsha A from Parsha B, so do I, what's the methodology of learning it out? Is it Don Mino Umina, everything is taken from Parsha B and all the details from Parsha B are applied? Or is it Don Mina, I learn the general principle from Parsha B, and then I apply it to Parsha A with some of the details that are unique to Parsha A that don't apply to Parsha B. Right? And let's talk in practical terms. Rameir Savar Don Mina Umina. Rameir says Don Mina Umina the following way. Mi Pikadon, we learn it out from Pikadon. Ma Pikadon Mushpa Mi Piatzmo Chayiv. Just like by Shvus HaPikadon, if you take the Shvua on your own, not that someone else is Mashbia you, you take the Shvua on your own, you're Chayiv. Af Eidus Mushpim Piatzmo Chayiv. So too by Shvus HaEidus, when you're Mushpim Piatzmo Chayiv. Umina, and let's continue deriving from Pikadon, therefore, Ma Pikadon, Bein Bebezin, Bein Shelo Bebezin, Af Eidus, Bein Bebezin, Bein Shelo Bebezin. Rameir will say, well, it's just like Pikadon, which is Mushpim Mipi Atzmo, and your Chayiv both in Beis and outside of Beis Din, must be by Shvus HaEidus, Mushpim Mipi Atzmo Yechayiv, both inside of Beis Din and outside of Beis Din. Right? It's Don Mina Umina. Rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan will say, no, Don Mina V'uki Ba'asra, in the following way, Ma Pikadon, Mushpim Mipi Atzmo Chayiv, just like Pikadon, when you're Mushpim Mipi Atzmo Yechayiv, Af Eidus Mushpim Mipi Atzmo Chayiv, you're right. By Eidus, we're learning Mushpim Mipi Atzmo. The Pasuk by Eidus talks about Mushpim Mipi Acherim, doesn't talk about Mushpim Mipi Atzmo. Right? That's why we're stressing that the whole idea of Mushpim Mipi Atzmo by Eidus is only derived from Pikadon. But then, V'uki Ba'asra, but then let's apply that idea of Mushpim Mipi Atzmo being Chayiv to the normal rules of what the Torah tells us about Shvus Eidus. And what does the Torah tell us about Shvus Eidus in regards to Mushpim Mipi Acherim? V'uki Ba'asra, Ma Mushpim Mipi Acherim, Be'bezdin in Shelo Be'bezdin Lo, Af Mushpim Mipi Atzmo Be'bezdin in Shelo Be'bezdin Lo. In Shvus Eidus, the Torah tells us that you're Chayiv in Be'bezdin when you take the Shvus in Be'bezdin. So even though the Torah, when it tells us that you're Chayiv in Be'bezdin, only speaks of the case of Mushpim Mipi Acherim, but once we're learning out from Pikadon that even Mushpim Piatzmo is going to be Chayiv, let's apply those same rules. That Mushpim Piatzmo is going to be Chayiv the same way Mushpim Piacherim is going to be chayiv. Only in Beis Din, not outside of Beis Din. And that's the shita of the Chachamim. So it's all a methodology of how to learn the Torah Shebichsav. That's the whole issue. Amr Luhu Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says back to them, Imi Pekadam Gamri La Rabbanan, Dekuliyam Lo Pligi, Dedon Mina Umina. Now, if you're going to learn from Pekadon, everyone would agree, Don Mina Umina, and therefore you're only going to be chayiv. I'm sorry, therefore you're going to be chayiv both in Beis Din and outside of Beis Din. Ela hainu time at the Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan say you're only chayiv in Beis Din, not outside of Beis Din? The Maisu la bekal v'chomer. Because they have a kal v'chomer. Uma mipi acherim chayiv, mipi atzmo lo kol shkein. They don't derive that you're chayiv by Shavos Ha'edos mipi atzmo from Pikadon. If they were deriving it from Pikadon, they would say, Don Mina Mina, and you'd be chayiv even outside of Beis Din. They don't learn it from Pikadon. You know how they know that by Shavos Ha'edos, Mushman Piatzmo, you're chayiv? A pashla kal v'chomer. That if I didn't even take the Shavua, I'm going to be held liable and responsible and be chayiv a karban for that Shavua. All I said was Amen. The guy says, Mashbi ani alecha, and I say Amen, and I'm going to be chayiv for that? So kal v'chomer, when I actually take the Shavua, when I actually say the words of the Shavua, kal v'chomer, I'm going to be responsible for that. Once we learn it from a kal v'chomer, so then why are we limited to only inside a Beis Din, not outside a Beis Din? Because that's the rule of a kal v'chomer. There's a rule that when you learn a kal v'chomer, that you can't learn anything more than the original case from which you are learning. So if the case from which I am learning is a case of mushmin piacherim, and we know that mushmin piacherim is only in Beis Din, but outside of Beis Din I'm not going to be chayiv. So mushmin piatzma, which I learned from mushmin piacherim, also the maximum I could apply it to is inside of Beis Din, not outside of Beis Din. So that's really the machlokas Rameir and the Chacham. There are Meir holds, we learn it from Pikadon, and therefore Don Mina Omina. And the Chacham hold, no, we learn it from a Kal V'Chomer, and therefore it only applies inside of Beis Din because of Dayo. Amr le Rabbanan Rav Papa, so the Rabbanan said back to Rav Papa, Mi matzis amrit alab b'don mina omina pligi. Can you really say that they're not arguing about don mina omina? Meaning that the Chachamim really don't hold don mina v'uki ba'asra. Everyone really agrees don mina omina. V'atnan, we have a Mishnah, Gabi Pikadon, that Shavuos HaPikadon, the Mishnah says about Shavuos HaPikadon. Shavuos HaPikadon, no heges ba'anashim u'benashim, b'rechokin u'bekrovin, b'ksherin u'bepsulin, b'fnei bezin v'shalom, b'fnei bezin mipiatzmo. That Shavuos HaPikadon is whenever you take the Shavuos, no matter who you are, whether you are kosher to be an aid, not kosher to be an aid, a relative, not a relative, doesn't make a difference. Bifnei Bezin, Vishlo Bifnei Bezin. It doesn't have to be in Bezin either. Umipiacherim enu chayiv atshiyich bar Bezin divrei Meir. But Meir says, Mipiacherim, you're only going to be chayiv if you're kofar in Bezin. The Chachamim omrim, Bein Mipiatzim, Bein Mipiacherim, Kivin shakofar bal chayiv. That whether it's Mipiatzim, whether it's Mipiacherim, once you're kofar, you're going to be chayiv. Mushba Bipiacherim, Bipikadim, in Alu Rabban of the chayiv. So, frak the Gemara, let's take a step back. The Torah never speaks about Mushba Mipiacherim by Shavuos HaPikadon. Where do the Rabbanan know that there is such a concept that you're chayiv for when you're mushman piacherim by pikadon? Lav de gamri la me'edus. The only place to know it from, the only source, would be Shavuos Ha'edus. So you're going to tell me that the Rabbanan don't make the link between Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos Ha'edus? Clearly they make the link, because there's a din by Shavuos HaPikadon that they apply that can only be learned from Shavuos Ha'edus. Shema mina b'domina mina pligi. And if they make that link, then what must they be arguing about in terms of Shavuos Ha'edus outside of Beis Din when it's mipi acherim? It must be that they're arguing about domina mina or domina v'uki b'asra. Because once they make that link, they're no longer going to be deriving the idea of mushrim piatzmo by Shavuos Ha'edus from kal v'chomer. They're deriving it from the link to Shavuos HaPikadon. So says Gemara, mehi in, mehal lekel mashmina. Yeah, Rav Papa wasn't saying that the Rabbanan don't make that link and that they don't actually argue about don mina omina. He was saying you can't prove from our Mishnah that they're arguing about don mina omina. From that Mishnah about Shavuos HaPikadon, yeah, from there you can prove it. You just can't prove it from our Mishnah. The chayavin al zadon ha-shavuos. So the Mishnah said that the guy is going to be chayav if he knows that he's lying. When he takes the shavuos that he doesn't know edus, he knows that he's lying. Minani mili, t'tanu rabbanan b'kula nemer ben v'nelam, v'kan lo nemer ba v'nelam, l'chayav al mezik k'shogeg. By all other shavuos, it always says v'nelam, as if he made a mistake. Over here, it doesn't say v'nelam. So by all the other cases in the surrounding parshios, rather, rather it says vinelam. Over here it doesn't say vinelam, so that it's obviously the Torah is making a point that there's no halam over here. You know exactly what you're doing, and you're lying about the edus. And we said that if the idea is shogeg, but you're mazed about the edus, you're going to be chayv the karban. What does that even mean? How are you shogeg with zadon ha'edus? Some Rav Yudah Merav, we saw this in Rashi on the Mishnah, but Omer yodei ani sheshvua zu asura. Look, the guy says, I know the shvua is asur, aval eini yodei im chayev nala karban im lo, but I didn't know, I knew that I was lying, I knew that I knew testimony and that I was swearing that I didn't know testimony, but I didn't know that I'm chayev a karban for that. That's the shogeg. Vein chayev nala shigasa gredasa, but if I'm just pure shogeg, that I don't even know that I'm lying, I really honestly believe that I don't know testimony, I honestly forgot, and then later I realize that I did know the testimony, so that I'm not going to be chayev for. Lema tanina l'drav kana dravasi. So isn't that exactly what Rav Kana and Ravasi said? So why do we need a Mishnah to tell me that the exact din of Rav Kana and Ravasi, that when a person thinks he's telling the truth, he's not going to be chayev? Lo, afalgav detnan itzrich. Even though it's learnt in the Mishnah, we still need Rav Kana and Ravasi. Salkadai dechamina, hachlu delok sivin elam, to be in a shogeg, to be demazed. Because I might have thought that over here it doesn't say vinelam because you need shogeg similar to mezid. Aval hasam dechsiv vinelam afilu shigasa koldehu. But over there, where it says vinelam, even shigasa koldehu, even a minor shogeg, even if he's honest and he doesn't realize that he's not telling the truth, that I would think that he would still be chayiv kamash malan. That if you're purely honest, that you don't even realize what you're doing, that's what Rav Kana Ravasi come to teach me, that you're not going to be chayiv. That's considered an onus. Okay, we'll pick up from the new Mishnah as Hashem tomorrow.